We're delighted you came to the Lord's house today, and our prayer now is that somehow, perhaps some other part of the worship service has already touched you, or perhaps now God will use one sermon and through the miracle of the Holy Spirit, put your name on it and in a way make this day happier for you because you came. One of the things we do want to affirm is that we know we have many agendas on Mother's Day, and God knows them all. And would you pray with me that somehow through the words of His Word and coming through me, we'll be able to meet those needs and you'll say it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we would ask you now, because you know us by name and love us, to take the honor that you feel for moms and wives and use this service and this sermon as a vehicle to bring the honor you want these ladies to receive from your hand. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Peter Marshall tells a story about the role mothers play in our lives. A town is located at the foot of some steep mountains. Townspeople hired an elderly man who enjoyed the outdoors to go high into the mountains and keep their water supply clean and clear. His job was to go to the natural springs and the tiny rivulets and keep them free from debris and pollution. Years went by and new community leaders forgot the old man. And one day they found a small item in the budget, which was his salary. And since they didn't know him nor remember why he was hired, they dropped him from the payroll. No one missed him at first. No one missed him until winter snows began to melt. And then suddenly the people discovered that their water was no longer crystal clear, and it gave off a foul odor. Finally, the city council discovered from the older residents of the town why the problem arose. And so they sent a special committee to find the old keeper of the springs, hired him at a higher salary, because they had a new appreciation for the importance of his job in keeping the water pure at its source. A simple story that becomes a parable for Mother's Day as we think on this special day of that woman that God honors as a wife and a mother. And today we give you the title, Keepers of the Springs of Society. Your work with our children is so easily taken for granted, overlooked, and yet without you, husbands and homes and children would be in big trouble, and we know it. And that's why we wanted one worship hour to honor you. Art Hoppe did a spoof interview in his column talking with a woman who represented a vanishing occupation, and it goes something like this. And what do you do, Ms. Bromley? Well, I'm a housewife. No, I mean, what do you do for a living? Well, that's all. I'm just a housewife. And what do you do as a housewife? Oh, you know, cook, clean, sew. I make beds, run errands, take care of the children. Well, what does your family think of all that? Well, I guess they're a little ashamed of me. Dad always wanted me to be an accountant like him, and my sister Wilma says, why can't I make something out of my life the way she has? She's an assistant market research director for the National Tobacco Company. Well, you simply lack the ambition to get ahead. Is that it, honey? I suppose you could say that. I know I'll be satisfied if I can simply make John happy and secure and raise my children to be better persons in a better world. The interview ends with these words. Well, it takes all kinds, kid. As the last housewife, good luck to you in your oddball occupation. Perhaps this is more than a satire. It's a parable of what's happening to the keepers of the springs of our culture. Only now are we beginning to feel the impact of downgrading the vocation of wife and mother. Large numbers of adults are permanently handicapped because they miss the touch of a mother's care. Now, I want to give one disclaimer immediately. This sermon is not a judgment on women who participate in careers outside the home. Our purpose is to honor the vocation of wife and mother as one career for women that God values, among others. Modern times have put great pressure on you keepers of the springs. Some moms are forced to work and to raise children and maintain their husbands and their homes. Some moms must function as a single parent. We, your church family, recognize your huge task And today in this place, we want to heap on you double honor for your double duty. Our prayer is that our church family can provide you with those special resources you need to help you carry your heavy load. Now today we want to study what the Bible means in this commandment, one of the ten, when it says, honor your father and your mother, and of course we're highlighting mother, that your days may be long on the land the Lord has given you. A first way to honor mothers is to hold what they do in high esteem, and then with our words and behavior, tell them what we feel. Perhaps today I can speak for all of us to you moms when we say, we appreciate you and what you do. Forgive us for our complaining and nagging. Too many of us husbands and children save our best compliments, patience, and understanding for those with whom we work or go to school. And we save our complaints, our fatigue, and our moodiness for you. Forgive us for comparing you with others, with other women who have more resources and time because you've given all yours away to keep themselves up. Thank you for allowing us to take you for granted. Forgive us for resisting your efforts to love and care for us. And God sends us Mother's Day to give us men and children in general a chance to clean up our act and say again to you moms, we love and appreciate and honor you. And we believe that your hand is God's hand that touches us with His love. During the years that my mother was in a convalescent home, I found a poem that seemed to speak to me over and over again about her. It's from Martin Buxbaum, and perhaps it'll help you articulate your feelings. I held her hands in mine last night, so very thin and worn, but they held mine just as tightly as the day that I was born. Those gentle and expressive hands, etched by work and care, have folded o'er my bedside many times in humble prayer. They've washed for me, they've fed me, they've helped me be a man. There's something of our Lord Himself in every mother's hand. Our anthem said today that when we honor moms, we're honoring God. That's literally true. This poem is one of millions seeking to put into words the feeling of gratitude and honor that we feel for those who nurtured us and literally gave us life. Unfortunately, many of us have to grow up and leave home before we understand what moms have done for us. I remember, and you probably do too, that during teenage years, moms are often viewed as sources of irritation. They're there to nag us about being home early, to do our homework, to put on our coats, to spend less money, to clean up our rooms and pick up our clothes. But as adults, we begin to understand that it was mom who affirmed us, who dared to dream about our future when we felt ugly and ungifted. And it was mom who first told us of the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. A mother indeed is the keeper of the springs of society. God has entrusted to her the keys of our psychological, spiritual, and physical health. And therefore, to honor her, I want to make a specific suggestion today. Go tell her what you feel if she's still with you. Tell her that you appreciate what she's done. Give to her today what she values most, a little of your time, your love, and attention. If you have a wound from a mom because she couldn't be a perfect mom, this would be a great day to get down on your knees and forgive her because she did her best. She might have come from a home that was so broken that she gave you all she had, even if it wasn't enough. And maybe it's time for you to heal those memories and get on with life. A second way we can honor mothers is by giving honor to our wives. Perhaps we need to become parents before we can fully appreciate what moms do. You know, a baby is the most helpless creature on earth. I'll never forget the sensitivity and patience that my wife showed to our baby, and now babies, but the first one was Leslie. She struggled 18 hours to... you know, that's a Freudian slip, but it's really true. Parenting never ends. She struggled 18 hours to bring Leslie into the world, and I thought that she was having a terrible time, but I found that I was more dead than she was by the time Leslie arrived. But then when I first saw the baby, and we, the next day or so, came to bring her home, the nurse wrapped the baby up on the bed in the hospital room and handed Leslie to me. That was about as the most helpless and inadequate I've ever felt in my life. What do you do with a baby? And I was so glad Meta was coming home with me. And I just want to tell you, we males would be in bad shape. We not only cannot bear the children, we can't care for them. And I watched in those early years. Meta could read Leslie. She knew what her cries meant. All I heard was noise. She knew the meaning of each cry. She could anticipate her needs. And that deepened our love. It tested our love at times, too, at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I wondered, why, Lord, did we do this? But it was a time when I could appreciate a mother's love, and I understood that God sent mothers to care for us when He couldn't come Himself. At a time when we males can do many things, but it's awfully hard for a dad to be a mom. This one couldn't have made it. What's interesting, wives not only care for their children, they care for us husbands. Carl Menninger of the Menninger Foundation says that wives function in a protective healing capacity with their husbands, meaning, and he literally says this, wives function to keep their husbands from committing suicide. We men have a shorter lifespan. We have a tendency to self-destruct. If we're single, we even live less time. We need women to sustain us. I saved a favorite card that I think is literally true. Perhaps God knew man needed him beside him in this life and couldn't come himself, so he gave the blessed ones a wife. The writer of Proverbs says, if you have a truly good wife, she's worth more than precious gems. Her husband can trust her, and she will richly satisfy his needs. She will not hinder him, but help him all her life. Personally, I'm amazed at the capacity of a wife. They can take care of our children, run our household, run our finances, cook delicious meals, keep our house clean, give us clean clothes to wear, run errands, nurse us when we're sick, keep track of where everything is located in the house, and come through on demand and tell us where it is. They keep their cool when everybody else in the house is losing theirs. I am convinced wives are one channel by which God's love reaches husbands and children. For you who are children here today, I just need to tell you, because I'm not a teenager anymore, but sometimes I wish I was and I could do it over again. I'm amazed at the roles that mothers play for children. We had an experience yesterday that I thought was rather interesting. Our son asked to go to the beach, and I said yes, and we said yes, and he heard us the first time and took off for the beach. Earlier, though, John likes to take a shower and then take the towel into the bedroom and drop the towel when he's done with it, along with the rest of his clothes. Now, Cosby says children are brain damaged, and I'm thinking that that's probably really true. Because John can hear the first time, yes, you can go to the beach. Meta has told him 20,000 times to hang up his towel after he's taken a shower and to put away his clothes after he's taken them off, and somehow it doesn't register. For you children, this is just a super day to see your mom beyond just being a nag. She really loves you. And all those put on your clothes and eat your carrots and the things that bug you most are God's way of overseeing you and taking care of you. And when He couldn't come Himself, He sent a mom to watch over you. And today, rather than resenting her as a nag, you ought to just wrap your arms around her and let her know you love her, even if you don't hang up your towels and put away your clothes. She loves you. No wonder Paul tells us in Ephesians to love our wives as Christ loves the church. They deserve it. My problem, your problem is we can't love as Christ loves. Maybe we can only pray today that the Holy Spirit will fill us so with the Spirit of Jesus that Jesus will love our wives and our moms through us. If you're sitting with guilt, maybe due to a divorce, due to a mom who couldn't do the job, or whatever brokenness you feel about what I've just said, You know, the neat thing about church and this family is that no matter what brokenness you've been through, no matter how you fouled up or what you've done, the Lord Jesus Christ is here with His love to give you grace and a chance to start again. If your mom is gone, you can find another mom to love. If you've been rough on your wife, you can change today. If you feel like you've fouled up with your children, well, you can start today and do it right. And that's what grace means, and that's why God had you in church today, to come in and fill the blanks, because no one's a perfect mom, no one's a perfect wife, no one's a perfect husband, no one's a perfect child. But we're a family here, and this is the family of the second chance, that today we wrap our arms around you in behalf of your Heavenly Father, saying, the past is buried and over, it's forgiven. And now we honor God because He gives us a chance to fill in the blanks and start again. I think that's exciting. In light of Scripture, I believe the vocation of being wife and mother is one of the highest in the sight of God. We join the Holy Spirit who inspired these words of praise to be written. Her children stand and bless her, so does her husband. He praises her with these words. There are many fine women in the world, but you're the best of them all. Charm can be deceptive. Beauty doesn't last. But a woman who fears and reverences God shall be greatly praised. And we praise you today. I can't imagine a greater source of fulfillment for a woman, as my own wife articulated, than to know she's been used of God to make a home and to create a life. On this special day, God honors you. We, your husbands and children, honor you. We, your church family, honor you. I close with an excerpt from William James. A teacher asked a boy this question in fractions. Suppose your mother baked an apple pie and there were 7 of you, your parents and 5 children. What part of the pie would be your portion? 1/6, answered the boy. But there are 7 of you. Don't you know anything about fractions? Yes, replied the boy, I know about fractions, but I also know about moms, too. Mother would say she didn't want any pie. God's pattern for marriage is fashioned after that kind of self-giving love, because moms, since the day you were born, has been saying, I don't want any pie so my child can have it. Maybe it's time for us on this day to begin, as again my wife alluded, to giving them some return on their investment. Jack read that if you have money and your family is in need and you say, I'm going to give this to the Lord, you're worse than an unbeliever, because in God's sight, the family is a priority. Her physical, her emotional, whatever her needs are, they're first over any other thing in our life. Today, let's get that priority straightened out. And whatever else you do, go and put your arms around her and let her know that you honor her and that God honors her, and you can spend the rest of your life maybe making up for, as I'd like to, some of the holes in the wall where we've missed it along the way. Let's close in prayer. Lord, fill us with so much of your love that we will be able to love that special lady you have provided to play the strategic role of wife and mother in our lives. Help us to love her as you want her loved. Help us to love her in your behalf. Give us new ways to let her know how much we appreciate her. In Christ's name, amen. We've changed the last hymn also. We call this a dynamic service. I'd like you to stand, and we're going to sing hymn number 525, Now Thank We All Our God, in particular, Thank God for Our Mothers.